For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today we are back with our How to Thrive in 2025 series, and we're talking emotional detoxing. How to identify what's weighing you down and how to let go of it to feel lighter in 2025.
But as always, we are going to catch up and then share our peaks of the week, and then we'll get to the topic. I mentioned it last week, but this catch-up segment is usually 15 to 20 minutes. So if you want to hang around here in the catch-up, we're going to share about our weeks. And if not, the topic about emotional wellness will start around the 20-minute mark.
Yeah, and we put the chapters in the description too. So feel free to look at those and click what's calling your name. Just click around. But catching up here, lots of travel. And me and Allison were talking about, I'm going to Naples for work this weekend, Naples, Florida. And I'm so excited, going to get some more sun because it did snow again here in St. Louis recently. So I'm itching for some warm weather. And we were talking about how, just a little shout out to everyone, to just be very diligent with your traveling this year, because there are a lot of regulations and rules. Obviously, I'm just flying in the US, so it's not that crazy, but lots of different countries have different rules and visas. I know the UK and possibly the EU is starting a new tourist visa. If you want to go to London, you have to get a visa now, where it used to just be you could just land. I know my global entry is expiring soon, and I just reapplied for that, and hopefully I'll get that back really quick, because I'm like, dang it, I don't want to not have pre-check. If I don't have pre-check, I'm going to be so upset. I hate taking my shoes off in the airport, hate taking all my camera gear out, laptops. And yeah, you had a similar experience too, of just making sure you're extra diligent with all the different rules.
Yeah, I was with one of my friends this weekend, and one of her friends didn't have their return flight booked out of Mexico yet. And they basically held her hostage at the Cancun airport for 7 days in literally a cell that looks like prison, with prison bars and just a cot. It was, and she had no idea how many days she had to stay in there. Like, it's one thing if you know, like, okay, 7 days, but no phone. They didn't even give her water for the first day or anything. Like, a really traumatizing experience to be stranded in a foreign country like that. And then obviously you miss your entire trip, depending on what could happen. And I had an issue one time when I was flying from Colombia into Mexico, because that was one airline. And then I didn't have a return flight from Cancun. I usually fly into Tulum, but there was a direct flight from Colombia into Cancun back to the US. And same, they like pulled me aside. It was like a whole ordeal. And even once I booked my return flight, they just like, I was already in trouble basically. And I was like, no, look, look, look. And they barely let me on. I almost missed my flight. I was like kind of working up some tears. I wasn't actually going to cry, because I was like, okay, worst case, I just like get a flight tomorrow or something. But I was like, this is so inconvenient. I already drove an hour to the airport, like I'm already packed, I'm already here. But that just came up in conversation this weekend. And then yeah, Kara and I were talking about it before we hopped on. And because it's now a new year, 2025, regulations change every year. So even if you've gone to a destination in the past and things were one way, now, because it's becoming such a global world where people are traveling way more, and we've moved beyond the COVID time where borders like reopened. And now I think countries are figuring out what their policies are, the rules, regulations, visas. Even if your passport is valid, there's different rules for how long your passport has to be good for. Like some places, it's okay if your passport is like 30, expires in 30 days after your trip. Some make it be like 6 months, 9 months, whatever. You don't know. So this is just our shout. As we know, a lot of you guys love to travel. Triple check everything.
Yeah, we're noticing a lot of changes because I had mentioned to Allison, I'm like, I need to come down to Tulum and visit you. And she's like, well, make sure you have a return flight booked. Do not come down here on a one way. Not that you would, but she was like, just letting you know, her friend had a traumatic experience with that. And yeah, the same with the passports. A flight attendant had flagged to me because I, after my little Asia trip in November, I posted my story. I only had two empty pages left. And she was like, girl, some countries require you to have four blank pages to even get in the country. You got to get that thing renewed. So luckily there was no travel for me internationally this past month, got it renewed and everything. But who would have known? I would have not have known that. So this
exactly.
is your shout, your PSA to look into things.
To look into things.
But
yes.
I guess speaking of me possibly wanting to come visit you, you had some friends visit you recently this weekend, right?
Yeah. Last week was just our social wellness episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels like so long ago because so much happened in the last week. I told you guys I had moved last weekend. So I move into my new apartment. And then my friend Liz moved into my old apartment. So we both kind of got our spaces semi-set up. And then my new apartment has two bedrooms. And my other friend wants to relocate to Tulum. So she's now staying in the spare bedroom until she finds a place more permanently here in Tulum. So then she came. And then Jesse, my friend from Omaha, was like, I could spontaneously come down this weekend. And I was like, yes, please. So I went from like being on an island down here by myself, basically, to it being like a full girls' weekend for like the last 5 days. I can't say it was my most productive week. There was a lot of hangout time, a lot of coffee shops, a lot of cute meals, beach day, pool day, but it was a blast. So I just took Jesse back to the airport now. I think the next couple of days, I'm like, okay, I should probably get some work done.
Head down in the laptop.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun when life is like that because now I'm still going to get everything done in just a shorter time span because it's like, okay, I just got to get done.
Yeah, I moved it closer to the due date or whatever, just more crunch time.
I guess in my life, I don't really ever have due dates. It's just this expectation, maybe it's not even the right word, of like when I think I should have things done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of like, I should do this, I could do this, it would be fun to do this, but there's never really a deadline. Which is nice. It's like a beautiful world of like having your own businesses. It's like the more I do, the better things go. And if I just don't do them, it's like, well, okay. Only I suffer, I guess. But
yeah,
this is, I'll say my peak early because it ties in. So when Jesse was like, I'll impulse come down, like, do you want me to bring anything? And I was like, well, if you're asking, yes, I would love that. And so, oh, also forgot to mention last week, there was like it wasn't even a storm. It like drizzled a little bit and literally the town, I had like absolutely no Wi-Fi for like two full days and like even half the coffee shops, no Wi-Fi. And so on the positive note, did lots of fun girly things. Like it feels like when the power goes out, like it's 1980. It's like, okay, let's like make face masks and like eat dinner by candlelight. You like, it's insane the amount of things we rely on Wi-Fi for. Even like, I'm like, oh, I'll make a meal. And I'm like, oh, I can't look up the recipe. Oh, I'll like phone a friend. And I'm like, oh, I literally have no service. Oh, what's in the face mask? Oh yeah, can't look that up. So it like really forces me to like be creative and like be super present and read a book with like no interruptions. Can't even play Spotify, like unless the playlist is downloaded. Like it really affects so many things, but it's kind of relieving in a way to have to like be self-reliant and enjoy the moment. So that also happened last week. And while that was happening was when Jesse was like, should I come down? Do you want anything? And I was like, okay, I literally have no service. Like even like my cell phone service is like not working, but I had sent Clay a list of things I wanted and my storage like code, my storage locker mm-hmm. code under the shop, and was like, okay, hope you two can figure it out from here. Like here's each other's numbers. Love you guys. Like Jesse, I'll see you tomorrow, basically. And oh my God, Clay wizard packed two huge checked bags of all of these things. Like, I didn't even know what was going to be in there. It felt like Christmas opening these suitcases. I was like, wait, I'm so happy this is here and this is here. And so nice of Jesse to like do the effort of meeting up with Clay to get the suitcases and go to the airport early and check them in and then go through customs. And then I sent her back with some clothes to now sell at 1404. And I'm like, ooh, this could be a fun thing where then I send the clothes back to the shop, sell them at the shop. I get to have some of my better things down here. Not better, but just home decor things or sheets or stuff that I want here that makes it feel more like home. And so that was like just a really unexpected fun thing to have happen over my weekend. I had no idea Jesse was going to be coming. I had no idea it was going to get my suitcases. I didn't know my friend was going to be moving in. And it's great. My cup is very full.
Yay. Okay. Love to hear that. Did you set your peak?
Yeah. That was all of that was my peak.
Okay. The fun, unexpected items and stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Two more things I want to say. One, I guess I have like three things. Okay. One, there is a trivia night for Connor's work on my actual birthday. It's Friday, March 7th. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. But apparently some of his coworkers were saying, like, can Kara make it? Like, we need Kara there. And that threw my ego through the roof where I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go to trivia night my birthday. Because I'm like, just the fact that his coworkers were like, we need Kara there. Not even because I'm good at trivia. I think I'm just a good like orchestrator of be like, who knows the answer? And then like, if someone's not sure, I'm like, I'm either going to like ignore you or I'm going to trust you. Like I kind of can read everyone how confident they are in their answers. Because there are some questions where I feel like everyone had different thoughts. And I feel like I did a good job of picking who felt the most confident with their answers. And so that's funny because I'm like, okay, don't really want to go. It's a fundraiser too, but I didn't really want to do that. But just the fact that like one person was like, can Kara make it? We need her. I'm like, fine, you got me. I'll be there. But then the next day on Saturday, I want to do something for my birthday. And the options are between a Traitors themed party, like a murder mystery party, or like a fun day thing. I just really want to do something fun with like a DJ during the day. I wish I could go to a coffee shop and like have a DJ set up and do like a fun little like coffee DJ day thing. That's so Tulum, and you're so blessed that I feel like there's just so many opportunities like that. That just does not exist here in St. Louis. So I don't know how that's going to happen. So maybe I'll just have like a little party in my backyard. And one of the theme options could be like après-ski, like a little après-ski themed party. Even though there's no skiing in St. Louis, there's like one little bunny hill 30 minutes away. And it's also going to be like the first weekend of March. So I'm like, is this a bad idea? Is it going to be hot out? But I love the idea of like, you know, like the après-ski videos you see of people like having a little outside party with a DJ in their ski outfits.
I love this idea. And selfishly, I'm like, no, you're going to come to Tulum and we're going to throw a full Pisces event and it's going to be by the water and you can to just be a full mermaid and I like know. The DJ, and we could do like body paint and cute glitter and pretty makeup and camera photos with the flash. Like,
okay, ¿por qué no los dos?
I see.
Like, why not both? Let's do both. I'm so down. Monday through Wednesday, Monday through Thursday, Tulum.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, trivia. Saturday, après-ski / Traitors. No, I don't know. I like the outside backyard party, and I would make it. I have so many thoughts, guys. This is the life of being a Pisces. All of my like dreams are up in the clouds of my head, and I haven't grabbed one yet. But like, I could do like a silent disco to not upset my neighbors. And you can rent like the silent disco headsets. I love a silent disco. One thing about me, they're so fun. I liked that idea a little bit better than Traitors, because if I do a Traitors / murder mystery party, I have to cap it at like 15 people. You can't play Traitors with that many people. And I'm like, I don't want to pick 15 people. I'm like, I want to invite everybody. So you guys will find out next week what I end up doing. But I need to decide right now because I need to send an invite and people need to like put this on their calendars and I need to think of a theme. Another fun theme I had was 80s prom. And there's a really cool retro bowling alley down the street that has not been touched since the 80s. And I'm like, wow, that'd be fun if everyone rented. There's a vintage rental place called Haberdashery here in St. Louis, and you can rent costumes. And I was just looking at their website, and one of the themes was 80s prom. And I'm like, how fun would that be if we all rented 80s prom costumes and went to this like 80s bar / bowling alley? But people were less interested in that one. I'm like, I just want to do something for the bit.
I have the solution.
Okay.
These are all amazing ideas. And you're right, with Pisces season, it's idea time. Like, if you guys are listening yeah. and you feel like you've had a lot of dreams and ideas right now, you're just leaning into the Pisces energy. So remember 2 years ago how I made that like birthday sign up sheet? I basically like had all the activities I wanted to do for my birthday, and then people could sign up for whatever they wanted to do. If the murder mystery people can only be 15, and then maybe bowling, what is that? Maybe like six? Like if less people were interested, you could do a smaller group for that, 4 to 6 on, say, Sunday, like a day party bowling prom thing that maybe a couple people could come to trivia with you on Friday. And you could do all of those things, but then whoever is available and interested for each part could just sign up for that part.
That's cute. That's a good idea. That's a good compromise. That's very Libra of you to offer that advice. The balance.
The balance.
So TBD, that was my first thing. Rapid fire, quick two other things. Second thing, did plank this morning after class, plank Legree. I was like, for some reason, there's a coffee shop, Starbucks, right next door. Never go to Starbucks there. I never get coffee there. But I was like, for some reason, something is telling me to go get a Starbucks. Go get a coffee there. I walk in. Within 2 seconds, someone next to me goes, do you have a German Shepherd? A German Shepherd named Margo? I'm like, yes. And she's like, I'm Margo's dad's mom. My dog, Moose, is Margo's dad. And I follow Margo's Instagram and TikTok page, and I follow you. I'm like, shut up. I never had met them because we got Margo from like a very, very, what's that called? Like AKC certified good breeder, not a backyard breeder. They only did 2 runs and they were done just because they loved their girl dog so much. And the guy who bred it was a war veteran, like just a very wholesome story and like not a backyard breeder. And she was like, I know a lot of the dogs because, you know, we only did it twice. So I follow Margo's Instagram and she's like, I recognize you right away. I'm like, what the heck? I was like, I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity. So I met Margo's dad's mom. And I was like, if they ever want to get together. And she's like, yeah. So that might be cute if Margo meets her dad. But when I told Connor, he was like, Margo already knows her dad, me. I'm like,
that's
okay,
exactly
yeah.
what I was thinking. I was like, wait, so you met Connor's mom? I'm like,
that's
what
he said. He's like, he does a little Margo voice, and Margo and his like her little voice is like, okay, so you met we is what all the little kids, all the little grandkids call Connor's mom. So it was funny. You're so right. But her bio dad. And that's why you should always trust your intuition. Third thing. I'll save the third thing. We can move on. That's too many updates. We got to go.
Okay. I'll say one really fast update because this was a small peek. But
yeah.
I went to the salon and I got a pretty decent haircut. I was like, I'm never attached. Like when I go in about the haircut, she's like, how much can I take off? And I'm like, however much you want, whatever you think. And she's like, 4 to 5 inches. And I'm like, yeah, sure, cut it off. And she's like, you don't care? And I'm like, it will literally grow back so fast. I gave myself my own haircut in like October. I cut my bangs to my chin and they were literally already down to my nipples. Like it grows so fast. And now it feels so good because moped life, like my hair is always like flapping in the wind on the moped. Plus, even though it's humid here, I feel like the salt water, it makes it really dry. And the shower water is also not great. It's very, very hard. And so I was like, why try to like salvage my hair so much? Like just cut it off. And speaking of like emotional wellness, like your hair carries a lot of energy and trauma. And I'm like, let's just let it go. Goodbye. Yeah. Like I felt the urge to just cut it off. I was like, should I even go shorter? And I'm like, 6 is fine for now. Maybe next month. But if you've ever cut your hair and then felt relieved, that's why, because you're like letting go of pain or just old things that you don't need to be holding on to anymore.
Yeah. Kind of, again, trusting your intuition. You knew, had to go.
Snip, snip.
And I guess that's my peak. Also, I guess a little peak. I finished week 1 of the workout plan that I've been doing. And now I did day one of week 2 today.
Nice. Crushing it.
Yeah, it feels good. I feel like we always talk about it when you're focusing on certain aspects, like I'm really focusing on the physical wellness. Some of the other ones can kind of fall behind, but I'm liking that I'm prioritizing my fitness right now because winter bod hit hard. So I'm really trying to get out of it. I really took hibernation, literally. So we're moving towards my fitness era.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit more into it. But since Clay moves down here, oh my God, in 8 days, if you guys don't know somehow, if I haven't said it a million times, he's a personal trainer. So I'm kind of honestly been milking my last like 2 weeks because I'm like, once he gets here, I'm going to have to work out really hard again.
He will be judging me.
Like, of course not actually. Like, he loves me how I am, but I'm more motivated to work out when he's around because I feel like it's efficient. I'm like, why would I go to the gym on my own and have to guess and think when I can have my partner, who's a personal trainer, do it with me? And it's just like so efficient, exactly what needs to be done. And I don't have to think about anything. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'll get the home set up. I'll hang out with the girlies. I'll, you know, I got like the Wi-Fi set up and we're getting curtains. Like, I'll do my part on those things. And then when you get here, it's back to the gym.
1000%. Okay. Listener peaks.
Listener peaks.
We have so many today to choose from.
Oh, I'm going to say this one from Hannah because we were just talking about Margot. She said, having a puppy play date with another dog. And I will say, even though Jesse, my friend that visited, is a human, Jesse is one of Peach's, my dog's best friends. And so I feel like Peach's also had a puppy play date the last few days because she was so, so happy to have Jesse here. They're like two peas in a pod.
Oh, so cute. You recently posted an Instagram story of Peach's and I sent it to McKenna and I said, it should be illegal. It should be this cute. I was gonna comment it. Do people comment on Instagram stories? I was gonna comment that, but I'm like, this feels a little weird. It feels a bit much. But do you like that feature?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Okay, next time I'll comment. But I was like, I feel like I'm being
permission.
Weird.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code alreadyfriends at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code alreadyfriends to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, alreadyfriends at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Okay, Jillian is with me on the healthy kick. She said her peak of the week was making healthy meals for the week. I love that.
Aw, this one's also very on brand for today's episode. Jenica said, feeling optimistic about new beginnings coming soon. And I feel like that ties in with this topic because a lot of new beginnings are only possible when you let go. It's a cycle. Death, rebirth, death, rebirth. So we'll get into that in a moment. Anything you want to preface before we get into emotional wellness? You did an amazing job with this outline. It looks fabulous.
Oh my gosh, thank you. No, as always, send in your peaks so we can read them on the show, on our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast. We post that story box every Monday. But no, I feel good. We can jump right in. I mean, we said this kind of with the past couple topics too, because this is our third year doing this installment of kind of related to the eight dimensions of wellness. And we wanted to find a new spin on emotional wellness since we have talked about it twice already. So this third time around, we chose a theme of detoxing. And it doesn't maybe sound like it's going to resonate as much as when we describe it. I feel like it totally resonates and even goes along with the spring cleaning energy. I feel like we spring clean our houses or get rid of things. What are we carrying in our own brains that take us through our day-to-day life that we need to spring clean and get rid of and detox?
Oh my God, 1,000,000%. And sometimes I think we need like a life change or something to kick us in the butt to get us to do this. And whatever that is for you, if you don't have something changing in your life, even leaning into the changing of the seasons could be your way of being like, okay, yeah, what am I holding on to that I don't want to hold on to anymore? And I think a reframe that I'm working through on that, because I have been letting go of so much, like this last year has just been letting go of mindsets, beliefs, friendships, lifestyle choices. Like it's been a whole 180 of things. And I leaned into that more because I'm like, okay, if I'm moving, like now is the time to maybe analyze what I have in my life and what I want to keep and what I want to let go of. And the emotional things that we hold on to, like resentment and anger and stuff, something that has been helping me is that I ask myself, like, am I benefiting more from holding on to this resentment or this belief, or would I benefit more if I let go of it? Because in the same way that it's hard to get rid of material objects, because you're like, well, what if I need it? Like this dress that I might wear one time in a year, or this all this stuff in this junk drawer, but what if I need it? It's like, but how good would it feel if you just let it go and made space for new things? I think emotions, when you can frame it that way, like you would with a tangible physical thing, how much better would it feel to make space in your heart for more love, more peace, more kindness? And that's only possible if you can let go of your anger towards someone, your anger about a relationship or a change or something that hurt you or a belief that's no longer serving you. How much better could it be if you really did cut the cord on that? And even though it's one thing to acknowledge that you want to let go of that, it's a whole nother aspect in what we'll talk about to then actually let it go, to take the action.
Yes, which we're going to give some actionable steps and tips. But even just echoing that, hanging on to those toxins of anger, resentment, regrets, especially in relationships. But hanging on to those feelings is literally like, it's that quote, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to feel harm. You're literally just harming yourself. I'm very excited that we're going to give some good solutions for how to let go and figure out what is the root of what's making you feel how you're feeling. But also just in today's day and age, in 2025, there's so much stimulation. We have never been this stimulated in our entire lives in any generation. And I just feel like we don't take enough moments of pause and reflecting on what is causing us to feel maybe not emotionally great. So that's why I think this is a really good and timely episode.
Absolutely. I want to hone in on that for a second, because what happens is, let's take a relationship, for example. I was recently talking to someone who was in a relationship for 5 years where the person they dated was very manipulative, very intense, very controlling. Immediately, when they got out of that, they ended up in another relationship, which was totally different. It was like a way more chill relationship, because I also think in those rebounds, often you seek the opposite, you know? Like if you have someone that's very controlling, it could be easy to gravitate towards someone who's like, doesn't give a fuck. Like they're super laissez-faire, but then it came with its whole other thing of issues. So then they dated that person for like 6-7 years. And then immediately after that, then they got another relationship. And so what happened is from that first relationship, they didn't even have the time or the opportunity to heal from that relationship. And then the second one, and now that they're at the point where they're like slowing down and going to therapy and having all these realizations, their newest partner is now not like receiving the brunt of that, but because it wasn't dealt with previously, now it's all coming up in the present moment. And so we do that a lot. Like if you had trauma from childhood, let's say with your mom, that can then show up in other female relationships where you're like, oh, I'm wounded from a woman in my life, whether it's an older sibling, like an older sister or your mom or your grandma, where then maybe you don't trust other women, and recognizing that it's because of something from maybe your recent past or long ago where you're not even consciously thinking about how that's affecting your present moment because of the stimulation, because we all have to make money and be in shape and clean our house and do this and this. You're just like going through life so fast. And then something comes up and you like have this emotional outburst. And a lot of times it really has nothing to do with whatever is actually in front of us. It's from something else, but like you couldn't hold on to it anymore. Like your body was full. It was like, I have nowhere else to store this. Like I'm having this explosion. And that's why it's so important to deliberately take those moments to stop, because your body, your heart, your mind needs to compartmentalize that. Like when you go through something, you need to sort it out logically, be like, what happened here? How do I feel? We'll go into that too. And then move forward into something else, because otherwise you're carrying all of that burden or pain or judgment into this new thing. And then that's why the new thing doesn't become a new thing and you repeat the old patterns and it's exactly the same. You see people who move from one city, they think, oh my God, my life is going to be so much better if I move to this place. Well, if nothing changes, your old beliefs, patterns, habits are just going to reappear in the exact same, a different form, but in the same way in a new place. All that you changed was your location. And the more I am thinking about emotional wellness, the more I'm realizing literally every single thing we do in life is to fill an emotional need. When you're like, I'm going to call a friend, you're feeling lonely. When you need food, you don't want to feel hunger anymore. When you want to move your body, you don't want to feel lazy anymore. When you want to like go out into town and see things, like you want to feel inspired. Like all of that is literally to fill an emotional need. And if you don't know what your emotional needs are, you can be going out and doing things that are not in alignment because you're like thinking you need something, but it's like a mirage. It's not what you actually need in that moment. You're just either used to coping in that way. Maybe you think you need a cigarette, but it's like maybe what you really need is to like call your mom and like you both need to say sorry. I'm just spitballing, but like so much of what we are just like coping with is avoiding dealing with those emotions that we need to because they hurt to bring to process.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully with what we say here, you can realize that if you don't address it, it's just going to bubble up and it's going to force you to address it in a much worse way. So you can either tackle it early on, or I mean, I've had those moments where I didn't deal with something and like it was like then it affected my physical wellness. Then I was like debilitatingly anxious, or it forced me to confront this emotional issue that I could have just dealt with much earlier and not have had such turmoil over it. But I guess really quick, some different examples of things that can cause our emotional wellness to be poor. Relationships, of course, toxic or strained relationships can cause that significant stress and emotional turmoil. Life events and transitions, so major changes like moving, a new job, or job loss. Mental and physical health, so maybe a chronic illness, chronic pain, mental health challenges like anxiety and depression that can influence our emotional well-being. Even your stress and coping mechanisms, like you were just saying, if you have a horrible stress coping mechanism, that can directly impact your emotional wellness.
A couple of more: financial insecurities, having a straining work-life imbalance, your home environment or your neighborhood, or living in a place that is not aligned with you anymore. As I mentioned, past trauma and unresolved issues, and cultural or societal expectations, peer pressure to behave a certain way, timeline to do this by this amount of time. Any others you want to shout?
No, I think that hopefully can just give someone who's listening a picture. If you have great emotional wellness and nothing was coming to mind, that can give you some examples of what we're talking about. But just some of those toxins, the emotional toxins that we're trying to get rid of, resentment, grudges, guilt, shame, anxiety, fear of the future, overwhelm from people pleasing or setting poor boundaries. Those are just some examples of that.
And now we can move into talking about how to identify what is weighing you down. Oh, I feel like I have to like sigh at this right now because this is like the not so fun part, you know, like when you think about your week of what you want to do, you're like, oh, I want to go hang out with my friends. I want to get eucalyptus for my shower. I want to take my dog to the park. I want to get my nails done. It's not really like, oh, I want to think about why I'm traumatized. Not really what most people like put on the top of their agenda, but until you deal with those things weighing you down, they're always going to affect you in the present moment. Because going back to how I said, every decision is based off an emotional need. It can be really hard to change your habits and change your lifestyle and remove limiting beliefs and attract better friends, attract a better relationship. If you have this aura of anger, guilt, shame, disappointment about yourself and how you're showing up in the world. So I think the fuel to actually go after this is focusing on how good it's going to feel once you cross to the other side, because you're going to carry it until you deal with it. They have done studies where we literally hold trauma in our body. When think about when something scary happens to you, like let's just say you're crossing a street and a car almost hits you. You go into fight or flight, you tense up, your body is terrified, your cortisol levels spike. Okay, whatever it is, if you don't deal with that after, your body does not let go of it. Your muscles and your fat, everything continues to grow around this pain and hurt that you were literally holding on to. That's why when we have stressful jobs and you go get a massage in your back and masseuse is like, oh my gosh, like you've got pain and you've got knots in here that we need to work out. We hold, like we store that in the body. And if you're struggling to lose weight, that could be a direct reflection because your body is holding onto it and putting these walls up because it thinks it's protecting you. Fat literally is protection, because if you have something that's going to hit you, like let's say in a more physical sense, like a car, whatever, if you have more cushion, that's your body's way of thinking it's protecting you. Well, if this is just an emotional thing and you have this wall up about someone who hurt you in the past, and now you don't want that there anymore, but your only way that you're thinking about going about this is like, oh, if I eat healthier, if I walk more, it will go away. But emotions don't work that way. You can't walk off childhood trauma or teen trauma or a horrible breakup just by going to the gym. Like you've got like somatic healing, I agree, is a huge part of it. And so sitting with them, even though it's really, really tough, you're going to come out the other side and feel so much lighter and more free and more resilient. I think we think a lot about a physically resilient body. Oh, I want to be able to like sprint up a flight of stairs and be athletic and play with my kids and go like feel like a badass in a Legree session. But emotional resiliency is incredibly important, because no matter how much money you make, who you're friends with life is not a void of tests. Like they're going to keep coming and coming. So in order to develop that emotional resiliency, you then have to confront these uncomfortable feelings, which can look like is journaling and meditation and breath work. I would say that trifecta for me is like the bread and butter. What is on my head and heart today? Like, how am I feeling? What is bothering me? What are some that have really resonated with you over the years?
Yeah, I think hands down, I'm going to recommend journaling this out, because the most important thing with emotional wellness, I think, is getting your thoughts out of your head, whether that's talking to a therapist, whether that's writing it down on pen and paper. But I think that's going to be my first recommendation, and some prompts you can think about. We'll put these in the show notes as well. First one, what thoughts are keeping me up at night? Who or what are you holding resentment towards? What has been draining my energy lately? What emotions did I feel today and what triggered them? I really like that one, because we'll get into this in a second, but increasing your self-awareness of your emotions is very much going to help you in this process of just even recognizing when you get upset, what triggered that, because at least in my life, I've found that if I have gotten upset about something, it's not the first time. It's kind of a pattern. And until I get more aware about that and why I'm acting that way, it's just going to keep happening. And I don't want to keep suffering and just having these outbursts of different emotions that I can fully control. And I don't need to do that every single time XYZ happens. So doing a simple journaling prompt, like what emotions did I feel today and what triggered them, can really, really help you improve your emotional wellness. And I guess the one I'm thinking of for me, when I would go on trips with family or friends, I would plan the trip because you guys know I've been planning photo shoots, video shoots around travel and travel trips for the last 6+ years for work. So when I would plan them for fun, I just like never wanted anything to go wrong. And if something were to go wrong, I just felt like everyone was blaming me because I 100% planned everything. And like, even if they weren't blaming me, which I don't think anyone ever was, I would just like get really upset to show that I was taking it seriously, that I'm like very seriously acknowledging that it was my fault that I got the train time wrong or my fault missed the ferry or something. And like, I would just get like so upset. And I could tell that people like my sister, like family, friends are just like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's okay. And like, as someone who's so optimistic, they're like, what's going on? Like, why are you so upset about this? But like in my head, I'm like, no, I'm just like, if I get upset about this and no one else can get upset because I'm going to be the upset one first, then like, I don't have to feel like I'm the failure. And I think that I finally realized that I was doing that and explained it. Then I'm like, I just feel like if I get upset first, then it shows that I'm taking it seriously, that like I've messed up and everyone's like, this is all for fun. And those are like the trigger points.
That's a really, really good example.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A couple other good prompts. Who or what drains my energy? Who or what fills up my cup? Because we'll say this, but letting go is going to be the best way to bring your emotional wellness up. And you have to figure out who's on the chopping block, what's on the chopping block. Because if we're going to do percentages, I think over half of the time when your emotional wellness isn't great, it's you need to do less. Something needs to go. You're doing too much. Two more prompts. What recurring thoughts do I have about myself or my life? Are they supportive or are they harmful? And then are there any past events or unresolved issues that are still affecting me today? So basically, those prompts should help you address these underlying problems, because if you do not address it, you are not going to feel better.
And if journaling isn't your cup of tea, of course, talk therapy is another great option. I even did a Temezcal ceremony. It's like a sweat lodge. That was an amazing way. Lymphatic drainage. Most of our trauma we store in our hips. So there's a ton of different exercises that can help release that trauma from your hips. And that's why if you have gone to a yoga class that had a lot of hip opening exercises and you're like feeling some feelings and you leave this class and you're like, whoa, why do I feel like my life is crumbling down or like I'm about to burst out and cry in the middle of a yoga class? It's because you're literally moving that pain out of your body. And let me also say that with this, in the moment, if you're journaling on some of those things or going to talk therapy or any of these other modalities and you're crying and it's feeling really painful, that's not a bad thing. That actually means you're moving through this letting go process because you're pulling it out of your body, confronting it, facing it, processing it so it can move out. So of course, as it comes up, you're then going to re-experience that emotion in the way that you tucked it away. If you went through this really traumatic thing, let's say the passing of a loved one when you were 10 years old, let's say, and at that time you didn't have the coping skills to process this horrible thing that happened to you, and you stored away in your body at age 10 of how traumatic that was, and then you don't think about it and you move through your life, when you start actually grieving that, that emotion is going to come through as strong and as intense as you sorted away from. No different than if you shoved a bunch of junk in a closet, kept shoving it in, closed the door, 10 years pass, you'd go to open it and it's completely full as when you shoved it all in there in the first place. So I mention this because if you're doing this and it feels painful and it's hard, it's kind of supposed to. That actually, I think, means you're doing yourself the due diligence of what you need to do in order to move forward to get to a lighter place on the other side.
Yeah. So I guess we can move into step two, which is releasing your emotions and some techniques for, you know, once you've determined what is causing you all this turmoil, how we can start to detox that. Of course, taking action is going to be a huge part. But even before that, emotional release journaling, write a release letter to express unspoken feelings, anger, sadness, resentment, and then either burn or tear it up as a symbolic act of letting go. I had a very heavy travel experience happen once, and even while I was on this trip, I went out and bought a journal and like wrote a letter to said person. I never gave this person that letter, but I wrote out this letter of how I felt about this whole experience. And the way that I feel like now I'm realizing it was emotional release. I didn't even know at the time that I was like letting it go, but I felt so much better just like processing that situation. And I don't know, kind of giving that peace to the situation and that person and what had happened. I don't know. I felt so much lighter and so much better. So I really, really like that technique. Another good one is a visualization meditation or just meditating in general. I feel like going on YouTube and just searching release meditation, you can find releasing these unwanted emotions. Same thing with breath work. If you go on YouTube and type in release breath work exercise, different things show up. Something like box breathing could be really helpful. It helps calm the nervous system and releases those pent up emotions. But I feel like just searching for those specific ones can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, breath work for me has been absolutely life changing. Even a couple of days ago, before Jesse got here, I was like running around, you know, trying to get my apartment ready and like do all this stuff. And I had this meeting that was supposed to be like an hour and a half. And I kid you not, it ended up taking 4 hours. So once I got off that call, I was just like feeling overwhelmed because I was like, whoa, that caught me by surprise. I had an expectation of how today was going to go and the things I wanted to get done today. And I've been sitting in this chair and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I wanted it to be 1 o'clock. Like I just was like angry for a second, you know? And I was supposed to be meeting my friend Liz. We were going to go do something. And I was like, oh my gosh, just got off this meeting. It took way longer. So sorry I missed your message. I'm going to do a breathwork session and I will text you in 15 minutes. Just give me a moment. And it's so funny because I literally did the breathwork session, texted her 15 minutes later and I go, LOL, I'm literally a brand new person. Like it was like laughable. I could not believe that like in 15 minutes, I went from wanting to like punch something and I was like so angry and frustrated to being like, wait, why did I care? Who cares? It's errands. Like, let's just go get them now. It doesn't matter if the sun goes down. It's 4 o'clock. Okay, it happened. The meeting's done. We got more done in the meeting. Now we don't need to do a follow-up meeting. Great. And being able to switch the perspective. But if I had not taken those 15 minutes to do the breath work, to think about it and be like, yes, that made me angry. It's okay. Okay. What could we be grateful for? And then move into my evening with a friend and not then like trauma dump onto them and then like feel like, oh my gosh, now I have no time for myself because I went and did this thing and now something else came up. And then maybe for a few days, I could have just been angry and then not know why I was angry. But dealing with it like in the moment as it comes, I think we all start to get better about that, recognizing it and having that self-awareness that you don't let it get too far away from the time that it happened. Because I totally agree. If you're in a meeting or you're in front of your child or something, you cannot always take go to yoga class or do a meditation or do a breath work exactly in that moment, but owe it to yourself to give yourself, whether it's an hour alone, whether it's going and getting a massage, whether it's hiring a babysitter or taking a weekend away, like you owe it to yourself to go have that sacred alone time and do what you need to do so that you can continue showing up as your best self. And I also want to shout EFT, emotional freedom technique. It's the tapping. I've been doing a lot of that lately, a little bit because we have these points on our body. I don't want to get too into it because I don't think I can explain it in a way that gives it the diligence and honor that it deserves. But I've been getting more into it, especially as like a manifestation technique. But basically on by your eyebrow, on the sides of your eyes, underneath your eyes, under your nose, your chin, a little bit below your collarbones, and kind of under your armpit, those are places in the body where we store specific emotions. And by tapping on them and saying a mantra while you do them, you can literally let go of those emotions. I don't have any examples to provide you guys at this time, but if you go to Pinterest, type like EFT for grief, EFT for financial freedom, whatever it is you are currently going through, you can easily find a TikTok or a YouTube short or a little Pinterest video that has like a series of mantras or affirmations to help you move through that. And I've only been actively doing it the last like couple of months, but it's been really transformative to actually like say it out loud and like look in the mirror and be like, yes, yes. It's very fun.
Yeah. And not specifically CFT, but I did write down some mantras for releasing that you can journal these. You could write on a post-it note and stick it on your mirror until you're feeling better about whatever situation you're going through. But something like, I'm not my past. I am present and free. I'm allowed to feel and let go. I release what no longer serves me. I am free to move forward. And I am safe to release my emotions. Those are some examples, but getting those words and those statements into your repertoire of what you believe will get you closer to feeling lighter and feeling better about these emotional toxins. And I guess the biggest step that you can take, especially if these emotional toxins are relationship oriented or job oriented, is taking action to let go. So, of course, a big action step is going to be a difficult conversation, setting a boundary, and you need to create a clear action plan with that. So just in general, some hard conversations that you might need to have, telling a friend or a partner that their behavior is harmful or disrespectful, unresolved conflicts or misunderstandings. I feel like that's a really big one that really bothers us for a long time, is just addressing a disagreement that is still affecting your emotional well-being and just being honest with yourself. If it is something that is still affecting you, accept that and take the action to reach out to that person and set the record straight. Apologies or forgiveness, apologizing for your role in a conflict or seeking forgiveness to move on, ending or changing a relationship, breaking off a toxic friendship or even a friendship or relationship that you just don't want to be in anymore, and or even just setting some new terms, asking for support or help, addressing unmet needs in a relationship, or just clarifying a miscommunication or assumption. All of those, I feel like, are very good steps towards getting rid of how you're feeling.
And now moving into creating space for emotional renewal. This is that process of restore. I have a friend who's a holistic health coach, and in her learnings and teaching, she talks about how we were kind of taught that the apology or the I'm sorry is the end. Like something happens, you have this conversation, you say you're sorry. But what's often missing is what comes after the I'm sorry. Do you or the other person actually change your behavior? Is there a repair being made? Is the anger actually released? Is forgiveness actually given? And that is what I think provides that lasting healing that you and or the other person really need in order to move into a new beginning. And in doing that, I wanted to acknowledge what I call a vulnerability hangover, because as I said, with this bringing up all of those emotions can feel very heavy and very painful. I think it's okay if in all of those action steps that Kara just said, a hard conversation, setting a boundary, redefining the terms of a relationship, changing jobs, changing home environments, being really vulnerable with yourself even or another person, I feel like there's this like hangover of that. Like, wow, I feel kind of like, even though you're feeling lighter, you feel this like intensity. And if you need to take some time to settle into that, because no matter what, when things change, it's different. It's not your norm. You went from a certain comfort zone to now a new state of being. And if you were really used to, say, being upset with this person or hating this job or this environment, when it gets better, you might not actually be able to immediately accept that. So making space in your heart and in your body and in a timeline of being like, this is going to take me a second to fully acknowledge and accept and even be excited about. Like, even sometimes if our current state gets better, we finally move into this home that we've wanted, or we finally get to leave that relationship that was hurting us, or we get out of this job that made me cry, that made you cry every day. That doesn't mean that, like, on the first day that something gets better, that you're going to truly feel better.
Yeah, you could be exhausted from the whole process, because expressing your emotions, especially if it's to somebody else that needs to be a part of the conversation, like in a work event, a friendship event, that definitely vulnerability hangover is the perfect way to explain that, because it is. It's like you're exhausted from doing it. It took a lot of your energy. Being vulnerable does take a lot of work. I mean, maybe for some people it's, you know, very natural, but for me, I know I feel very, yeah, it can be overwhelming. So yeah, I think what you're saying, just give yourself the space. If you are feeling off for a couple of days, let yourself take it easy. If you are letting go of something, practice a letting go ritual, similar to what we're saying of writing a letter to that person. You don't even have to send it to them. Other examples, burn or bury. Write down what you've been releasing or what you just released and burn it or bury the paper as a symbolic act of letting go. You could do a water release, write down the burden and release it into water, or even just think of the burden in your head and go into an ocean or go into a pool. Even just putting yourself in water is very cleansing. I feel like that can symbolize cleansing yourself of that emotion. But yeah, I think giving yourself the space to take it easy after you've addressed it, that can be the reward to yourself for actually doing it and not letting it pile up any further. But then don't be afraid to pair it with a letting go proper ritual, because those do really help. Any final tips for now you've addressed the big toxins, you've let go, any daily practices that you think can just help keep our emotional wellness at bay and manage so that we hopefully don't have these big, heavy mountains to climb moving forward?
For me, the biggest one is quality alone time. And I've come to realize, I think that is why I need so much alone time, is because after pretty much anything, even amazing fun things, like I just had this awesome weekend with friends and getting in this new space, I'm like, I still need to like sit with this. Like, I'm in this new apartment now. As I just said, even though it's better, now I have this rooftop pool, I have this extra room, it's still a change. I still need to get my body on board with like, this is our home now. You need to settle in here. You need to relax. Like, we're not going anywhere. You are safe. Because what could happen, like growing up, I think I lived in at least 10 different homes. Like, my parents moved around a lot. Then they separated, and then both of them had to get resettled into their life. I know that I have this like fight or flight response when I'm moving around of like, ah, well, it's only a matter of time now until I have to move again. So it's really hard for me to think that like just because I'm calling a place home that it's going to be lasting. And I know that that's, say, like a trigger experience. And so because I didn't get to sit with that, because I immediately had friends visit, I know now for the next few days that I need to like settle in here. And that's why even the day after I moved in, I did the mushrooms of being like, I need to integrate in. But that still was only one day. Like, I really need to like, I don't know, like sit with myself and like give love to the four walls in here and be like, hey, like, thank you for like holding me. And like, I'm going to stay and letting my energy settle here to feel safe and doing the tangible things. Like, I even went and got eucalyptus for the shower. I got some extra cute little baskets, having Jesse bring the suitcase and Clay putting some of my favorite other home things in there help make me feel like this is my safe space to call home. But if now I immediately, old me would have probably self-sabotaged and been like, oh my gosh, I should just invite another friend down. Oh, I should just like go take a trip to Mexico City. Oh, I should just immediately start something else new to avoid feeling the discomfort of how it feels to constantly not feel like a place is my home. And that self-awareness, I think, we can acknowledge over time, like if you look back of what has really harmed you, try to recognize how you react and respond when a similar situation happens to you now and how you react to it. Are you going to repeat the pattern, or are you able to take the alone time that you need to make peace with whatever is coming up for you so that you can let go?
Definitely. And some other day-to-day tips. I think having a solid morning routine or evening routine that incorporates some form of mindfulness or meditation, because like we keep saying, if you don't take care and do maintenance for your brain every single day and kind of force yourself to do it, even when you're not feeling up for it 100%, you're going to let things pile up and just kind of build and build and build. So this year I've done meditation almost every single morning, and I have a book that's a daily book. It's prayer, meditation, and affirmations for every single day. I'll link it in the show notes too. It's really good. It's no religion. You kind of just read it and apply whatever spirituality modalities that you believe in. But it's just a good way to check in every single morning, and it goes with the seasons. So in February right now, it's all about love. And I like how it has these different tie-ins to the different months and days and stuff. But by doing that every single morning, I feel like I'm checking in with myself and forcing myself to practice gratitude, to think about what's bothering me. And even certain prompts will be like asking about these specific emotions. So having a good routine that incorporates even 2 minutes of meditating or mindfulness will make you feel so much better. Like I just said, a gratitude practice really help you with your emotional wellness. Moving and exercising, obviously that's proven to help with your emotional mindset. Even stretching or walking outside. Limiting your social media use is one of the best ways to impact your emotional wellness. Just reducing negativity, reducing comparison, or just even being mindful about how much you consume. That's something I've talked about on here. I've set my limits to an hour a day of Instagram and TikTok. Sometimes I extend it by 15 minutes. I'm not perfect, but even just being aware and not letting myself get sucked into all the negativity and drama and this and that that's on social media. A few others, journaling regularly to process your thoughts and emotions and clear your mind. Get enough sleep so that you can have emotional and mental restoration. And of course, nourishing your body with balanced, nutritious meals. And yeah, make sure you end your day reflecting and setting yourself up to have a moment of meditation or calm before you go to bed.
Amazing. I think all of those tangible daily practices are the things I like to do when I'm alone. And for me, it's like step one is carving out the quality alone time in order to do those things. Go for a walk where I can process and release, do a breathwork session, meditate, have a quiet wind down routine. And I still think it's really helpful to talk through your emotions with other people. And I do a lot of that. I think it's, for me, I just need a balance of both. There's some things that I need to talk out with other people. And there's some stuff that before I'm able to talk it out, I need to find the clarity in my own head of being like, wait, what is the root? Where's the seed? And then once I process it a little bit, then I kind of move to the stage of talking to someone about it. And then they maybe provide either advice or, well, did you think about it this way? Or they just listen. And then that helps me move through it on like a second level. And then it's like implementing and taking more action beyond that. And my main summarizing thought was just to be like, with boundaries, I think boundaries are beautiful and I think we all need them. And, you know, they say boundaries are for you, not the other person. But I've come to realize that there's also aside with boundaries, where if you set too many boundaries or you isolate yourself too much, how healed are you really if you never have tests? So of course, we could all live in our own little utopia in our own house and not go out and confront things that trigger us or put ourselves in uncomfortable situations that we know are going to bring stuff up. But what kind of life is that? If you have all of these phobias or triggers or trauma or wounds, that then when you go out in the world or you make new friends or you fall in love or you want to travel or you're stimulated or you change jobs, if you don't have that emotional resiliency built up, then you're really vulnerable to like having a breakdown because you're not letting yourself even have the test to see if you have healed from these things. And I am trying to bring more awareness to myself about that of being like, well, how are you actually when another test comes? And the same thing that you've been dealing with or you've been processing or you are actively trying to heal from until another similar test comes, how do you know? So not totally avoiding tests just to make your life easy.
Yeah, not building yourself into a boundary castle with a moat that no one can reach you at, and then you're just on your own little island. And yeah, I think with emotional wellness, you're so right. There's a balance of through the hard things and through the things that test us, that just shows us how strong we are and how resilient we are. And that's what carries us through our day-to-day life is what we always say, confidence is doing something and saying you're going to do something and then yourself proving to yourself that you can do it and you can get through the hard things. So with all of this, if you are going through it, just know that on the other side, you're going to learn a lesson, you're going to come out stronger, and it's going to show yourself what you're capable of.
That emotional resiliency is going to help you in so many other areas of life. Like if you can handle one thing that's really, really hard, you can use that as confidence and a tool to move through something else challenging. Because if we know anything about life, like it all is going to keep coming and coming. That's a choice that we all make when we decide to fall in love, when we decide to take risks, when we decide to step into our higher selves, when we decide to make new friends or get a new job. Like we're always going to be met with challenges and things that make us question what we want and who we really are. But I think that that's a big part of the human experience. And once you get through to the other side of those things, that confidence, that optimism, that peace, that hope, that joy far outweighs how hard whatever it was that you went through.
That's amazing. I couldn't have summarized that better myself. Well, thank you guys for being here for another episode of Already Friends, another episode of our How to Thrive in 2025 series. We will catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.